Welcome to Dish the Dirt, a light-hearted and fun podcast about Australian flower growers, their stories, knowledge and insights into the industry. I'm your host Rebecca, and each week I speak to a different farmer and get them to dish the dirt. Dish the Dirt acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land on which we work and live, and recognise their continuing connection to land, water and community. We pay respect to elders past, present and emerging. Hello and welcome to what is episode 6 of season 6 of Dish the Dirt. It is wonderful to be with you this week because this week is our second birthday of Dish the Dirt. So 2 years ago, I started on this crazy idea of recording flower farmers' stories, knowledge and insights into the industry. And here we are 2 years later, and I've spoken to so many wonderful people, and it's such a privilege to be able to bring you their stories every single week and to hopefully continue to do so. I think it's such an important conversation that we're having about all of the challenges, but also all of the wonderful things that our industry has. So yeah, let's keep doing it. And if you would like to be part of season 7, please get in touch with me because I will start recording that very soon, and it would be wonderful to have your voice on it. So this week I speak to Monica from Atkins Farm. Atkins Farm is located in the Adelaide Hills, in Meadows, 50 minutes from Adelaide. Atkins Farm has been owned by the same family for 3 generations who have worked the property as a sheep and potato farm. The current owners, Tim and Monica MacArthur, have reinvigorated the farm, bringing warmth and charm to this country property. In early 2022, they opened the farm to welcome guests to pick their own sunflowers during the global pandemic. What they didn't realise or couldn't imagine was all of the wonderful people they were lucky enough to meet from their community. They can't wait to welcome guests back to the farm next summer. This is such a wonderful chat about a flower farm that is just beginning, and I wish them all the very best for the future. Thank you so much, Monica, and let's get into it. How's your week been?
Yeah, it's been good. Just busy day to day. I had to go into work this morning. Just trying to get a few things done around the farm this week. We had quite a lot of rain over the weekend. So that's been good in a lot of ways, but also, it just sort of creates a few things that need to be fixed as well.
Yeah, of course. It's a never-ending list, right, on a farm.
Yeah, definitely. So, just trying to make the most of not so much rain this week and, get a few jobs done around the farm as well. So the juggle of getting kids to bed and all of that sort of stuff as well.
Yeah, of course, isn't it? at what point do they put themselves to bed? That's what I want to know. I want to get to that point.
I would love to know that too, because it's not happening. Our eldest is almost 8 and he's still – needs help going to sleep, which is it's lovely. Some days I just say, right, I'm done. I'm off to bed. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Yeah. Mic drop out.
That's it. I'm done.
So do you want to start me off by sort of explaining where you're situated?
Yeah, definitely. So we are in Meadows, which is in the Adelaide Hills. It's a pretty small town. So about 45 minutes from the CBD and about 15 minutes from Harndorf, which is quite a popular tourist town. Okay. It's a beautiful spot. It's traditionally been dairy country. So at this time of year, it's, really lovely and green. But quite a small community, which is lovely. We love that. Sort of close enough to Adelaide if we need to get there. And also, lots to do here in the hills. And then only sort of like another half an hour to the beach and some other wine regions. So, a really nice kind of central spot to be, like away from it all, sort of the hustle and bustle, but close enough to lots of amenities, which is great.
Yeah, great. And have you always been there?
I haven't, but my husband, he grew up on the farm here at Meadows. Originally his granddad bought the farm back, I think, in the 1930s. So his mum and his uncles have lived here and he grew up here. And we moved back to the farm from Melbourne in sort of middle of 2014. Just have kind of 12 months back here. I was going on maternity leave, so we just thought we'd come back and be closer to family. And we never left, so we're still here, great. Which is wonderful. And we love it. It's been really wonderful, and I've got two little kids, so it's been really lovely to have the space for them to kind of run around, and just it's just a really lovely community, so we also love that aspect of it as well.
And how did you get into flowers, or has there always been flowers on the property?
So originally the it's been a potato farm, it's been a dairy, and it's also been a sheep farm. So traditionally I guess my family and Laura run sheep primarily on the property, and when we moved back here in 2014, we're spending a lot more time here, so much more involved in what was going on here. And it used to be 127 acres, so it's now only about 47, so much smaller. And we've just looked at doing, work on the farm, just fixing up fences and bits and pieces. And probably, I don't know, maybe like a couple of years ago, a little bit pre-COVID, but I've sort of got into gardening. And so we've looked at kind of, what's the right word, trying to make the garden around the house, sort of rejuvenate it and plant some more fruit trees and lots more sort of native trees as well on the farm. And sort of through that I started, taking a real interest in gardening and starting to follow people on social media and listening to podcasts and doing lots of reading, going to workshops. And at some point in this journey, probably I think around the time of sort of COVID and the pandemic starting, we were obviously spending a lot more time here, and I guess for me a lot more time on social media. And I often have what I call innovative ideas, and my husband normally nods and goes, okay. And one of those ideas was to trial a paddock of sunflowers, just to see if that's something that we could grow here on a larger scale. We'd looked at potentially growing roses and a few other plants like sort of Australian natives and proteas, but on a much smaller scale. So, the idea was to trial a paddock of sunflowers, which we did last year. So we had an agronomist come out to the farm to talk through kind of what varieties we might be able to plant and what we'd needed to sort of do to get things going. And, that's kind of where that started. I've always sort of had an interest in flowers and floristry, but more so as a hobby, not as something on kind of, any kind of scale. This is all very new for us.
Yeah, and how did it go, your trial patch?
It was quite surprisingly, it was amazing, just in terms of we did not expect or anticipate that so many people would be interested in coming to visit our farm to pick sunflowers. So we planted out the paddock, and I was sort of like, I'm not sure if these will grow because we don't have irrigation. But they grew, and sort of I think it was like late December, early January, they were starting to be ready to bloom. So we had kind of put plans in place to open up to the public, but with COVID and everything that was going on with lockdowns, we sort of put that on hold and just decided to open for a couple of weekends for friends and family, just as a way to catch up with them outside, sort of in a way that they'd feel safe, to catch up with us. And then we still had heaps of flowers left over, which is a wonderful problem to have. So we just decided we'd trial opening to the public, and just shared a couple of Instagram posts and tagged our local tourism body and another sort of digital magazine here in South Australia called Glam Adelaide. And they both were able to reshare our content via their socials. And, yeah, we just were inundated with people wanting or booking tickets to come to the Sunflower Field. So, yeah, it was amazing. And just from the perspective, I think, of meeting so many lovely people and being able to give people an experience that they, you know, they felt safe to do because it was outside. We had small groups. And, yeah, it was just incredible. I'm still amazed at the response and a lot of learnings for us too. I think we were kind of a lot of it was sort of done on the fly, but yeah, it was just, it was incredible. Yeah, just from, I guess, perspective of the Sunflowers grew, which was amazing.
Yeah.
But also being able to welcome, yeah, so many people to the farm and get lots of really lovely feedback as well. We had a mum and her daughter come. She's a young adult and she has some health issues. So her mum said she'd seen a lot of car parks during COVID and during the pandemic, but she felt comfortable enough to come up here and pick sunflowers with her mum, which was wonderful. Yeah. So, yeah, and lots of people have an amazing connection to flowers, whether it reminds them of to sunflowers specifically in terms of it might remind them of a loved one, someone maybe that is no longer with them. So we were, yeah, just people were very open in sharing their stories and their connection too, which is something I don't think we anticipated when we decided to open for Pick Your Own Sunflowers.
Yeah, lovely. And just taking you back to sort of when you first began and you said you had an agronomist come out and have a look and see what variety would work for you. How much, if you don't mind me asking, just so people maybe starting out, how much did you outlay to put in your sunflowers to begin with?
So in terms of the actual, I guess there was no cost to us in terms of getting an agronomist out here to give us advice. So just in terms of farming, previously we've had them come out to give us advice on pastures and getting sort of doing some weed management and bits and pieces. So the gentleman that came out, there was no cost involved in him coming to visit. So that was great. And we sort of had that established connection through a friend of a friend as well. So I'm sure it might, there may be a cost involved. I'm not 100% sure, depending on who you approach. But most of the time, I don't think it's a huge cost. And then in terms of the seed price, and I mean, we planted at about an acre, and I think Tim would know the specifics around how many bags of seed we bought, but
yeah,
we're you know, potentially talking less than $500 for seed.
Okay.
And then it was just our time. So we don't pay ourselves. We just do it for the love of farming and flower farming. So I guess, you know, if you were to add that all up, that would be an additional cost too, just in terms of getting the paddock ready. We were advised to plant a winter, sort of like a winter manure crop, which we didn't do last year. We sort of didn't do anything the agronomist advised except plant the sunflowers. So despite getting all of that advice, we sort of just in terms of, I guess, time, we just ran out of time, so we did the bare minimum, which still resulted in flowers, which was amazing. So I think that was another reason we were kind of blown away, because we kind of ran out of time to do everything. But this year we have had the agronomist come out again, just to talk about a few different things, and so we've started with planting a winter manure crop and getting the paddocks ready. So the initial outlay was not a huge amount in terms of, I guess, our perspective from farming. For someone starting out, I guess, on a super small scale, that's probably is quite an investment. But we did look at sort of my husband Tim works in finance outside of the farm, so he's very much about return on investment and what do we have to do to break even? But even in the last 12 months, so many of the items that you need for farming, like fence posts, fencing material, and even sunflower seed, the cost has risen a lot. So, you know, if I was talking to you having only started this season in the future, it would be a very different amount of money. So, yeah, I think still a large, definitely a large investment, and a lot of our time as well.
Yeah, of course.
We sort of, yeah, did everything ourselves. But there's a lot of people willing to give advice free as well. And one of the things I found kind of with the Instagram community is people are so helpful in terms of advice. So I spoke to Maria from Glen Burnie Farm sort of last year just to ask her a few questions as well, and she was really helpful.
Yeah, lovely.
With some of, the questions around logistics. So just ask people. People are so nice and so helpful. So hopefully that answers that question.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. And I just wanted to know, are you irrigating this year, or are you just sort of keeping along the same plan, and have you, will you plant more this year? Are you keeping to the acre, do you think?
So we unfortunately don't have access to irrigation for the paddocks. We do have a bore which we use to water the house garden, which is great, but we're just, relying on Mother Nature. So I guess that's one of the things about farming is you're never quite sure how it will go in terms of rain at the right time and what the season will be like. But we're hoping to plant out about 8 acres of sunflowers this year. So
Yeah. And so are you planning on having – yeah, that's awesome. Are you planning on doing it for all pick your own, or do you think that you're going into more wholesale production?
I think it would be nice to have the option potentially to do a little bit of wholesale. We met a couple of lovely florists last season who gave us some good advice just in terms of if we were to go down that road, sort of what we'd need to do to get the flowers ready and I guess, be able to wholesale. So we're still potentially considering it. I think one of the challenges for us is it's essentially just Tim and I. So, and we both work off farm as well. So we'll just sort of have to see if we can kind of resource getting up early and picking and then being able to wholesale. So ideally, yes, Beck, we'd like to, but we're just going to be a little bit closer to the time.
If any wholesalers are listening to this episode, get in touch.
Thank you.
But
yeah, we want to open for pick your own. I think we essentially were only open for 2 weeks. We had a really short season for the public. So we'd like to extend the season. So we'll stagger the planting as well so that we have flowers for a much longer period. So hopefully a few months, which will be a little bit different to what we did last year. We sort of were open for the 2 weeks to the public and before that, a couple of weekends for friends and family. And we're also hopefully planting out a couple of other crops as well so that we can kind of extend our season for opening the farm to visitors as well.
Yeah. So what other types of crops are you looking at planting?
So working with our agronomist, he has made a custom flower mix for us. So we're going to plant that out in one paddock.
Wow,
so that's
awesome.
A mixture of a few different things, but I won't say exactly what just in case grow.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, exciting.
Yeah, so that will be really exciting. And I guess also it's an opportunity for us to just trial a couple of different things and see if they will grow here in the Adelaide Hills and without irrigation. So that's sort of what the sunflowers were last year. It was a bit of a trial for us just to see if we could grow them. So we'll try a couple of other things this season and fingers crossed they work.
Yeah, wonderful. So that takes me to sort of what is your climate like there?
So we in Meadows in particular, it's a really high rainfall area in winter. So I think we are quite, or not us, the farm, but the area is quite an important catchment area for Mount Bold Reservoir and water source. So yeah, really wet, really muddy in winter. And then traditionally the hills has always been a little bit cooler in summer. It's normally sort of 2 or 3 or 4 degrees, sometimes 5 degrees cooler than Adelaide CBD.
Okay.
But definitely noticing summer's getting hotter, particularly in the last few years. So still cooling down at night, and if you get a beautiful southerly breeze, things cool right down in summer. But yeah, sort of from super wet and super boggy and rainy to hot in summer.
Yeah. And what sort of challenges have you found with growing flowers in that climate?
I think interestingly, kangaroos. So we are quite close to Kaipo Forest, which is a big forest area here in the hills. It's great for horse riding and walking. So lots of kangaroos living in there, but they've sort of started to move in to some of the farming areas. So we had a family living by our dam last year, and also they enjoyed eating my roses.
Oh, great. Good.
That's been a challenge. And also rabbits as well. They'll just pop through. And that was one of our concerns last year with the sunflowers. So just keeping an eye on them. But luckily they didn't do too much damage. And then a couple of crops we looked at planting this year, talking to the agronomist, that was one of the things we discussed, just in terms of what kind of sort of insects or pests might enjoy eating those flowers. And we have decided against planting a couple of things just because they're kind of in that brassica family. And so the sort of moths and the cabbage moths would be an issue, and we don't really want to spray. So we said no to planting that particular crop. But I mean, it's kind of farming, there's always challenges, with insects and pests and kangaroos and that sort of, they can have a few roses and I can have the rest.
So. Yeah, good.
Yeah.
So what varieties of sunflowers did you plant in the end?
That is a very good question, and my husband could probably answer that much better than I can. But we went with a cut flower variety. So we worked with a seed company based in Australia, and went with a recommendation that they'd suggested that was good for cut flowers.
Yeah. And how do you find harvesting them? Because I have talked to a few farmers, and sunflowers are not the easiest thing to harvest. How did you find it?
They're not.
they're pretty heavy, not. Right?
They are. And I think that's probably one of the reasons we didn't wholesale as well. I think the challenges of cutting them and getting them ready. But we were sort of advising people who came up for pick your own, essentially just to pick the entire stem almost to the ground. And then when they got home, they could sort of, I guess, cut the stem down and pop them in water and keep, sort of topping up and refreshing the water. Not the easiest flower to cut. And sort of by the time you've picked kind of, I guess, 10 or 15 of them, and you've got that, or 20 big armful of flowers, quite heavy too. And some of the ones that grew were, taller than me, some about, I think, 175 centimetres, and sort of flower head was like almost twice the size of my head. We had some huge flowers, and then some which were much more suited to cut flowers.
Yeah, wonderful. So what did you provide to people who came up to pick their own, or did you tell them before they got there sort of what they had to bring?
So we did a little bit of research just to see what some of the other pick your own flower, sunflower farms were doing in Australia, just read through kind of some of their terms and conditions just to get an idea of what they were suggesting. And in the end, primarily just due to some of the COVID restrictions, we asked everyone to BYO their own kind of secateurs or snips and bucket and wear like footwear that was appropriate for, you know, walking in a paddock. So it was really...
don't wear your high heels.
No, and enclosed shoes are good, and things like if, you know, if you're allergic to bees, we sort of had that as a, you know, a kind of a disclaimer on the ticket as well. And then when people are arriving as well, we just sort of ran through, you know, because that was another thing, just the bees that you would see in the paddock as well, incredible. So, yeah, and just... We live on a farm. There are lots of animals that also live here too. So just trying to keep people, I guess, appropriately attired with enclosed shoes and, yeah, BYO snips, BYO bucket. And I think we'll probably continue that this year. It worked really well. And then for the few people that did forget, we did have a few spares that we were happy to kind of just give away and let them use.
Yeah, awesome. Do you have any snakes living in there?
We do. That's sort of what I was alluding to before. yes. So.
Wow.
Yeah. So we did. I personally didn't see any snakes. We do have snakes here on the farm, but most of the time they're not interested in you. They're just either moving through or. But we did have, we were able to open the farm for a couple to come here, and he proposed to his girlfriend in the sunflower paddock, which was lovely. But my husband told me later that he had seen a snake sort of slither through the paddock. Luckily, kind of half an hour before they arrived. So, all good. But just, yeah, one of the challenges, I think, and probably this year, just we'll make sure that we kind of just highlight to people that just to be kind of wary. But when you've got people walking through a paddock and sort of, I guess, the vibrations, hopefully that means that the snakes aren't hanging around too much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what do you love about growing flowers and being on your farm?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Beck. For me personally, being outside in the garden and growing flowers, I call it my meditation. It's just a really lovely experience to be outside in nature. And it's taught me a lot of patience. I remember planting something a few years ago and just wondering why it wasn't growing. And I called the nursery for advice. And then I look at that plant now and it's thriving, but I just needed to be patient. So just from a personal perspective, it's taught me that, and just the joy of, I mean, one of the things I wanted to do was be able to pick a bunch of flowers to bring into my house. That was kind of my goal, and I get to do that, which is amazing. And then I also get to share that with my friends and family too. I really enjoy being able to go out to the garden, put together flowers, to be able to gift that to, you know, a work colleague or friends or family or for someone's birthday. It gives me a real buzz, and just seeing something grow from seed or planting bulbs, you know, I'm really excited about spring just for our own kind of home garden, to see all of those beautiful flowers like tulips and daffodils, and all the colour that will come with spring. And then in terms of the sunflowers, I think that was just amazing to be able to give people that experience as well, without sort of sounding too kind of corny. I think it's been a tough 2 years for a lot of people, and I think, you know, many people have been through lots of different challenges, and to be able to, I mean, we gave away a lot of flowers as well, as well as, you know, selling tickets to come and pick your own sunflowers. But we opened up for some sessions just for people to come and bring their grandpa or their sister who'd lost a child to cancer to be able to come and have some time in the sunflower field and pick some flowers to go and pop on his grave. So it's bigger than just I guess the day-to-day of flower farming and farming. It's I guess connection to community and connection to people. So to be able to offer that is, yeah, it makes my heart sing, which is pretty amazing. And, yeah, from my own personal perspective, it's, for me, it's really an opportunity to kind of, yeah, meditate and kind of just be really grounded as well.
Yeah, lovely. And what is your dream for the next 5 years?
Oh, that is a very good question too. just keep planting more sunflowers.
I just
that would be amazing to have the entire farm, and I don't think my husband will let me, but filled with flowers would be incredible. So I think just to be able to keep doing what we're doing and keep growing and perhaps, trying to plant a few other types of flowers. And we've done a little trial patch of proteas and leucodendrons and grevilleas and wattles, and they're doing well. They're still probably a little way away from being able to use them for cut flowers. So I would love to plant out a few acres of Australian natives and some proteas, etc. So that's probably in the next 5 years. If we could do that at some scale, that would be amazing as well. Just continue to keep sharing kind of our little bit of paradise with people as well.
Yeah, lovely. And over this time, what have you found out more about sort of the flower market near you or the flower industry?
A little bit. I guess through kind of Instagram, there's a really amazing community of flower growers here in the hills. There's another lady called Cheryl who has Willow Creek Flower Farm and Meadows, and she grows amazing dahlias and sells flowers at her farm gate as well. And lots of people in some of the nearby hills towns like Stirling and Mylor who are all growing flowers at some kind of scale, not huge, but and Ollie's Farm near Mylor as well, who has a lot of Australian natives. So I think it's been for me more about just connecting with people in my community who are growing flowers and seeing what they're doing and what they're trialing and asking questions around what's working for them and what isn't. In terms of, I guess, kind of the wholesale side of things, I haven't really explored that, or we haven't really explored that. But hopefully maybe in the next few years that will be something that we can also trial as well and see if that works for us as well. I think I always have a bit of a perfectionist, so a bit hesitant to, I guess, deliver product that, you know, I feel like it has to be perfect with in terms of the flowers. So we probably just have to take the leap and try it and see how it goes.
Oh, and I think that's totally just jumping in there. I think that's totally what wholesalers want. It's what they're looking for. They're looking for that those people that have that perfection and want to deliver a high quality product, because at the end of the day, they're also putting their name against it too. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely. Yeah. So I think, yeah, just being conscious of that, and maybe we're not quite ready for that.
Yeah. Have you found it hard to find information on growing or sort of getting into the flower industry in terms of sort of research papers and entry requirements and things like that?
Yeah, I'd say yes, definitely. I've been, I guess I do love finding out information, but it has been difficult. And a lot of, I guess, the resources are maybe not for the Australian market or Australian conditions. So it's been tricky. So sort of when I was talking earlier about reaching out and asking people who are doing it and trying to sort of, I guess, pick their brain as well to find out information. But yeah, it's been tricky. Yeah. I mean, your podcast has been an amazing resource for me. I think I've listened to every episode, if I'm allowed to say that.
Fabulous. No, you're allowed.
Just because you've had so many incredible guests on the podcast who all have different experiences. But yeah, that has been, a huge resource for me in terms of learning a little bit about the industry as well. And because of the diversity of your guests from, you know, people who are growing at large scale to the opposite end, I think, you know, that's been excellent too, to know that you can start small. Mm. And probably the best thing is just to start and see how you go.
Yeah, I definitely don't think that 8 acres of sunflowers is small, just FYI. definitely sounds pretty large to me, and I would say a lot of people would say the same thing. So so what's sort of been your biggest learning curve since you've started out?
Oh, that's a very good question. That just in general, that not everything you plant will grow. I think just when you have so much invested in something that you've planted, whether it's a, you know, a rose or a daisy bush or whatever it is, potentially, that not everything will make it. I think just having some more realistic ideas around about seasonality, what will grow, what's suited to the conditions here and what's not. And I think asking, sort of going back to asking at the local nursery and speaking to people who are growing what we might want to grow to see if it's worked for them, what are the challenges they've had? Every week there's something probably new I learn on the farm here. Just in general. So yeah, it's an education, which is good.
Yeah, wonderful. And your biggest achievement, what would you say?
I think probably planting an acre of sunflowers. And that's more than I could ever have imagined. That's been pretty fantastic.
Yeah, wonderful. And is there anything that you've sort of found out through growing flowers in Australia that you would love to see change, maybe for somebody starting out or maybe even as a consumer?
Yeah, I think the conversation around seasonal flowers and local flowers. I think a lot of people, and I didn't realise this either until I started growing flowers, that a lot of flowers are imported, and it would be great for consumers just to have more of an understanding around sort of the seasonality of flowers and when things are in season and when things are not. You know, perhaps that's an opportunity for all of us to kind of help with that education piece. But it's amazing to be able to talk to people about locally grown flowers and things like, you know, dahlias that might not transport very well but are an incredible flower. And so supporting someone local who's growing them is pretty amazing. I think definitely seasonality and local flowers and perhaps helping consumers understand why it's really important to support local growers.
Wonderful. And saying sort of the seasonality thing, when do your sunflowers bloom?
Yep, that is a good question. They are normally a summer annual. For us last year, they started flowering at the end of December. Normally I think the variety we picked was meant to be 90 days from seed to for flower, but actually took a bit longer, so it was more like 120 days. So end of December and all through January. And we only really did one, essentially we only, my gosh, where are my words? We planted out the paddock with the seed and we just did it in one go, whereas, yeah, we hopefully will be able to kind of stagger the planting sort of 2 or 3 weeks so that we've got flowers blooming for a longer period over summer.
Yeah, and if people are wanting to come out to your farm this summer, where would they find the information about it? Do you have a website?
We do. So atkinsfarm.com.au is our website, and our Instagram is at atkinsfarm. So most of our, I guess, our comms around when the farm will be open will be via the website and via Instagram as well.
Yeah, wonderful. And these are the sort of questions I ask everyone. If you've listened to the episodes, you'll be very familiar with these. If you have to leave your farm really quickly, what 3 things would you take with you?
I have listened to the podcast and I still probably don't have the right answer for this.
There's no right answer. It's
There is a really old rose here, a peace rose that was planted by my grandmother-in-law. So if I could dig that up and take that with me, I would, just because it's my favourite rose here on the farm.
Yeah.
I'd probably have to say any leftover sunflower seeds, take those with. and probably, yeah, a couple of the tools in our garden shed that are kind of super old, but I use, yeah, every week, so I'd probably pop a couple of those in the car as well.
Yeah, great. Well, that leads me on to what is your favorite tool.
I'm probably going to say it's a shovel, and my husband's probably going to say it's a spade because I never get it right. So the shovel spade that's in the shed, I'd probably take that with, because I use that, yeah, all the time. Probably that one, the shovel spade, I'm going to call it.
Yeah, cool. And what's on the playlist when you're out planting millions and millions of sunflower seeds?
That is, yeah, a great question. Probably my Spotify playlists. Or potentially one of the flower farming podcasts that I like to listen to as well, probably what I'm listening to.
Yeah, great. And is there anything I haven't asked you about your journey so far, your farm, anything you wanted to share?
I think just if anyone is thinking of starting the journey of flower farming, I'd just say go for it. It's such an incredible experience, and you get to learn so much, and it's such a wonderful community. So, that would be what I'd say.
Yeah, great. Oh, thank you. I feel like this has been such a wonderful chat, and I actually don't think I've interviewed many sunflower farmers before. So I hope I've asked the right questions about sunflowers.
Oh, definitely, Beck. Was so excited to be able to speak to you as well. And just want to say thank you for what you've done for the flower industry here in Australia as well. It's great to be able to have content that is relevant for all of us here, and probably for people listening overseas as well.
Thank you so much, Monica, for what was such a wonderful chat about your growing flower farm. I can't wait to see what 8 acres of sunflowers looks like this summer, and hopefully I will get up there to take a look. Please keep an eye out for what Monica and Tim are doing. You can find it out through their website, and I think Monica gave a few places you could find out about pick your own sunflowers in the episode. So if you would like to be part of Dish the Dirt next season, please get in touch with me, even if it's only to ask some questions and decide whether it's for you or not. That would be so great. It would be wonderful to keep this conversation going and to keep sharing your stories, knowledge, and insights into the industry. And look, if you are in New Zealand or you're somewhere close by and you would like to be part of the podcast too, why not? Please get in touch. It's always great to share anyone's stories from the Southern Hemisphere. So that would be wonderful. Anyway, I hope that everyone's off to have a wonderful weekend and enjoy some winter sun, hopefully. Hopefully it stopped raining in parts of Australia now. I am off to run a half marathon, which I'm just going to do a little plug for now. So I am running for Prems this weekend in the Run Melbourne Half Marathon. I am running in honour of Toby, who was a little boy who died this time last year at about 7 months old, and he was born prematurely. His story stuck with me, and I did the flowers for his funeral. When I saw that I could run for Running for Prems, that was the only charity I wanted to run for. So, such a great charity, raising money for new incubators and new research into premature birth. Sophie is the organizer of the charity, and she is wonderful. She lost her three babies when they were born prematurely. And you can look up this charity, or you can sponsor me if you would like. You can sponsor me through the LLB Florals Instagram. There is a link in my bio. Anyway, that's enough about me. But yeah, great charity, great cause, and I hope to do well for little Toby. Okay, everyone, keep being blooming fabulous.